When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
There was something that I sort of wanted to talk about, sort of. And I say sort of because I am still reluctant, but I thought I would throw it out there. And since leaving Loser, it's always, you know, everyone, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And everybody wants me to do a weight loss show. And I just don't want to do a weight loss show. It's not to say that the right weight loss show might not come along, but it's, you know, it's so on the nose. And I just don't want, I feel like I've done it. I've done it better than it can be done. I've done it when it was topical, and I want to broaden out the message, right? And I just couldn't figure out exactly what that medium would be. And I'd always wanted to do daytime, and it was always, I wasn't diplomatic enough for daytime. I wasn't nice enough for daytime and all of that. And no one would ever give me a chance. No one. And as I've kind of tried to fight to get in the medium, I've also watched people who are way better than me get daytime shows and fail. Mm. I mean, the Anderson Coopers of the world, the Katie Couric of the world, Queen Latifah's struggling, Meredith Vieira is struggling, and these are all like pretty likable, enormously talented personalities. And so I started to think, I don't believe it's these individuals. I actually believe it's, to a certain extent, the medium. Yes. I think people are just not watching daytime anymore. I think that, you know, there's a million other things they can do, either on the internet, they have TiVo, they're just dealing with so much going on in their lives, their kids, their work, that it's just, the medium is not there, and it's way more of an on-demand kind of medium these days. You get home at night, you put on your TiVo'd show, and people also are not TiVoing things that air 5 days a week. It fills up the TiVo, it's overwhelming. But, you know, 1 hour that you can download, you can watch any place, anytime, anywhere, it's free. And I think that's part of what's been so successful about the podcast is exactly that. It's free, any place, any device, anytime, anywhere. So it's convenient, right?
Yeah.
So I've been getting approached throughout the years by producers, not what we call buyers, which are TV stations that would air the show, but different producers. Oh, would you do a reality show? Would you do a reality show? And I just never understood what the benefit would be. And I was like, why? Just to be like, look, how crazy my life is, like, well, albeit entertaining, like, what's the point? And so this one producer who I really respected, who, you know, I'm not going to pretend like you don't know him because you shot the demo tape with me, but this guy Greg, who the guy won the Emmy the last, I think it was last 2 maybe 3 years in a row for Undercover Boss. And I happen to think that was just a really great feel-good show.
It's a great show.
And he's not one of those guys that produces mean-spirited TV. Just a really good guy and a smart guy, runs a huge production company, and he had a spin on it. And he's like, look, what is it that you want to do with your career? And I said, you know, look, for me, not to take a page out of Oprah's book, but I guess I will, because that is sort of my brand, is I'm about radical self-acceptance, and I want to help people live a better life. I just want them to be able to have more out of this life, more happiness, more fulfillment, more passion, more enrichment out of their lives, to have more, to do more, to be more, to have more intimacy and more financial independence. Like, isn't that the point of becoming better and feeling better? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, what the heck else are we doing here? So, and it's not, please, for those of you who are extremely religious, I don't mean, you know, God, I'm sure, fits into that equation for everybody in their various ways. I just, all I'm saying is, hopefully there is a God. I do believe in a God, but I think God helps those who help themselves. So, I don't want to offend anybody on that front. Point being, I always want to help people have more, right? Be happier. Live better. And I struggle in my own life to do those things.
Right.
And so, this guy was like, well, what is it that you love so much about your podcast? And I said, well, you know, we share all this stuff, and it's always an anecdote from one of our lives, and then we kind of look for that bigger lesson and that bigger message, and we try to find kind of takeaway to share with the audience that we're in the trenches with them, and maybe they're going through some of the same things, and maybe they can relate, and maybe we can find some answers together and forge some new paths together, and we have different experts come on, and this and that and the other. And he said, well, what if in that reality show, we were showing women who are trying to have it all, to be a mom, to be a career woman, to be a daughter, to be a partner, be it, you know, in a gay or straight relationship, that, you know, hey, you're struggling with all these things too. This is the struggle of the modern day woman. And let's see if we can't find some answers together. And of course, a very entertaining format, because my life is like an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. It truly is a situational comedy. You just never know what the hell is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, who gets robbed and then the robber turns around and says, oh, I'm her lover and her drug dealer, despite the fact that I'm gay and a health and wellness expert. Apparently, I do an 8-ball of cocaine with my robber before he leaves with my passport, my bag, my keys, my wallet, and my car.
I've known that for years.
With two new babies in the household, apparently. So anyway, so I really like this guy, and I thought, you know, something that is interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Because it is what we love to do on the podcast. And so this guy came and he shot 2 days of my life, and of course all the people in it. So Jake, Janice, Autumn are all in it, Giancarlo, Heidi, the kids, all my closest friends, Andy, Christy. It just, you get like a little taste of my life. And he puts together this demo reel, which is supposed to be 6 minutes. It turns out to be 15, and he couldn't figure out how to cut it down, and there was so much that didn't even make it in. And now, after all this, it's been quite a while to get all of this together and get that deal done with him and then get the demo taped on. And now it's time to take it out to what we call buyers, which are TV stations. And quite honestly, there aren't that many that are totally right for this kind of show. You know, it's the obvious. It's the E's, the Bravos, the Lifetimes, the TLCs. There's like a handful of places that are right. And all of a sudden, the overwhelming fear that I felt, because I was like, this is different. Like, I take rejection a lot. You know, I take rejection a lot, and I'm used to it. And for me, I'm like, all right, you know, is there a rejection something I need to pay attention to and tweak, or is it just not right for them, but it'll be right for a different person? Or, but this is so personal now, because now I've roped all of my family and all of my friends into this experience. So you're not just rejecting me or a business idea, you're rejecting my entire life, the fabric of my entire life, and everybody in it now kind of gets hit with the wave of, yeah, they didn't buy it, sorry, should they not mm-hmm. buy it? And I just, the tremendous anxiety that I felt, and I was like, this would absolutely paralyze anybody, this kind of, and I think that that's one of the reasons fear is so paralyzing, is just the complete vulnerability, which is so scary. And we always talk about how vulnerability is actually strength, and, you know, you can't have courage without having fear, and fear is a natural part of human emotion, and we deal with how to move through fear. And I just thought, I wanted to throw it out there because it's something that I'm going through. And one of the ways I have pushed through it, despite the fact that it could be a disaster and everyone could reject it, which would be totally humiliating and upsetting, but I realized that if I wanted to do what I wanted to do professionally on a bigger level, which is something that you and I have been talking about for years, taking the same kind of message and the same kind of shenanigans and blowing it out, broadening it out, fulfilling it out a bit, and putting it into a television platform that can reach, even though we have over 1 million subscribers, we're actually doing quite well here on this podcast. So maybe I, you know, who knew? Like, we first it was like, oh, I hope people are listening. And now just on subscribers, we have over 1 million. On SoundCloud alone, we have over 500,000. So that's more than some shows get ratings.
We better get in touch with that Mr. Marconi right now.
Yeah. That but with that, you know, with that said, I thought, you know something? If you want to have that, you're going to have to take these risks. You have to. And I just kind of thought I had to get to a place where I felt responsible for everybody. And I was like, well, you know what? Everyone signed up for this knowing that it might not sell. So I had to allow people to be responsible for their own emotions, which is big for me because I always like to kind of be the hero.
I've given you heck for that.
I know.
You carry everybody on your shoulder and you don't. We've all got our own God. You got to remember that. We all have our own God.
You're right. You're right, Manus. And I had to sort of get to a place where I was like, you know what? People signed up for this knowing this could go sideways. Nothing could come of it, you know. And I kind of had to let people, you're right, be responsible for their own feelings and their own emotions. And then I also had to get to a place where I was like, all right, look, I've been through worse. And if it doesn't succeed, then it wasn't meant to succeed. And I kind of had to, this is where
this isn't the time.
Yeah.
This isn't the
It was, who knows, a lot of things could go wrong here. Maybe, you know, this is where I had to look at the bigger picture. And I do believe in giving things to God after you've done everything you can do. And this is where I go, you know, I've done everything I can do and I'm going to give this to God or the universe or something bigger than me. Because rejection is always protection. And even though you might not see it in the moment, hindsight's 20/20, and it could have ended up being a disaster. It could still end up being a disaster. And I promise you, people will hate the way I parent. People will hate the way I do business. Like, it's going to be, if it should sell, it'll be very intense. Because I don't do things traditionally. And people love to jump on and criticize other people for how they parent and how they live their lives. So, you know, there's a clip in the demo where I'm explaining to Lou what the word, you know, quack this Janice, but bullshit means. She asked me, she's like, Mom, what does bullshit mean? And I told her. I was like, look, dude, it's like, let's say somebody runs out of Halloween candy on Halloween early in the evening. That's bullshit. I explained it to her. You know, I'm going to tell her. It's like, you know, and I'm sure.
And an excellent example.
I think so, too. Yeah. But I'm like, someone's going to watch this and be furious. And to be honest, I'm like, I just don't care. My daughter's going to grow up and know what the word means. I'm not hurting her. I'm not teaching her to hurt other people. I'm not telling her she can run around and say that word.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I was like, if it doesn't go, then I'm going to have to fall back to, it's not meant to be. There's something bigger than me, and rejection is protection. And if it does go and it does work out, then it's going to be that stepping stone from that crazy loser persona to whatever it is. And maybe this is that final step. Who knows if it goes and it works. But the absolute fear was just like, I felt like I was sitting on the Tower of Terror just about, you know, getting ready to drop off the edge.
No, I can totally empathize with that kind of fear. I can see that. You are. It's you, flat out. Take off the dressing gown.
Here we go. So who knows? I don't know. I don't know what'll happen with it. But I just guess I'm trying to say to anybody else out there, if there is that step, that chance, that jump that you just can't seem to take, again, appreciate that it won't kill you. That whoever you think, if your friends are disappointed and don't love you because of it, then they're not really your friends. You know, when people show you who they are, believe them. And to a certain extent, that rejection is protection because you should surround yourself with people who love you. Should this not go, no one in my life is not going to love me. And if they did, I'd just be like, wow, that was revealing. Thank you for letting me know who you are. All right. Let me move on and find, you know, better friends. But I do have I'm lucky to have wonderful people in my life. And it's taken me years to surround myself with wonderful people. I think of that as a huge accomplishment because I, you know, haven't always had that. I haven't always had really wonderful people in my life. Bottom line, you got to let your passion drive you. So if there's something that you want, you've got to allow that to push you to take the risk. You really do. And for me, I trying to find that next level of communicating mm-hmm. these messages and connecting with the audience is really important to me. And I love my family. Don't get me wrong. And we've talked about this before, how Freud said there are two major areas of your life, right? Your work and your family, your friends, where you find meaning. So that work part for me is extremely important. It doesn't diminish because I have a family. I find my personal meaning as a human being in the work that I do. And being connected with other people, the audience, if you will, because I despise the word fan. I think it's disgusting. And I think it's a one-way relationship. So I like to just say audience. People mm-hmm. who listen to our podcast or read our books or come to the show or do the DVDs and all of that. I really value that relationship. It means a lot to me.
I know you do.
And it makes me feel more connected in the world. And it gives me that meaning. And so that drives me to think, you know something, there are other people that are going to be going through similar things that I'm going through. They're also having, you know, struggling with all these different aspects of being a modern woman or a modern day individual for that matter. And hopefully it would be an experience where we're kind of in it together and we're looking for answers together through transparency. And I appreciate there will always be haters. God knows there's no shortage of those. And the bigger you get, the more you incur. You know what I mean? Anyway, so I guess I just wanted to throw that out there and just say, like, hey, take this journey with me. Mm-hmm. You know, what is it that you've been afraid of? Like, let's do it together. Take that chance. Take that leap of faith. Make your move. We're all in it. You know, we can all hang out in the kind of it's like when one door closes, another door opens, but the hallway's hell.
Yeah, the pause.
Yeah, jump into the hallway. Yeah. Here we are.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. Okay, naturebox.com. Love these guys. I look forward to this every month, my monthly delivery. Naturebox, in case you don't know, is a subscription service that gives you the chance to discover and enjoy delicious and nutritious snacks delivered right to your door on a monthly basis. And this, of course, means they are Jillion approved. So no high fructose corn syrup, no hydrogenated oils, no artificial flavors, no artificial colors. Smart, healthy snacks. And each snack faces strict quality standards that are nutritionist approved. And as I said, most importantly, me approved. What gets better than that? My snack of the month are my watermelon chews. Delicious. If you want to start your NatureBox membership today and get a free sample box of their most loved snacks, all you got to do is visit naturebox.com/Jillion to get started. That's naturebox.com/JILLIAN. Guys, if you're feeling stuck and unhappy in your job and you want something that you're going to love to do and you'll make great money at, go to myusatrainer.com. You can be a certified personal trainer with the National Academy of Sports Medicine. Certified personal trainers work in health clubs, corporate wellness. They even train college and pro athletes. Plus, NASM guarantees that you will land a job within 60 days of certification or they'll give you your money back. So you've got nothing to lose. Check it out. Go to myusatrainer.com today and get started with your free 14-day sneak peek of their fast and fun online program. That's 14 free days closer to your dream job, making great money at myusatrainer.com. That's myusatrainer.com. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
It's a snappy too. Snappy is just synonymous for health related. But
yeah.
What if it's not snappy?
Oh, it is?
Yeah, that's what that means now.
That's what it means now.
Yeah, if you looked it up in the Janus Dictionary.
Glossary of radio and radio and
artists. It would mean
artists.
Yeah, health. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what
health
I like.
Isn't the snappiest?
We could go to Jillian's wheelhouse. That's what we could change. If you're tired and snappy, we could go.
Yeah.
Hey, it's wheelhouse time.
I just feel like it's misrepresenting things. Because then it's like, oh, it's going to be snappy. And then it's like,
no, you interpret it as being that way. So? I don't believe other folks.
I know, because when
way.
I try to talk to my friends about these things, they tune me out.
I don't think
they start checking their phone. They get on their Facebook. I'm like, you know what? I watched a TED Talk the other day about upstreamists, which is what we're going to talk about today, since no one else would listen to me.
That's now you know how I feel all the time when I start talking, when you start finding butterflies to look at, okay? That's how I feel all the time.
Right.
You do that.
Which, just... I know, which is why I avoid things that are in that vein, because it's bad enough.
That I do it.
Yeah.
All right. But now, what is the topic?
All right.
Miss Wheelhouse.
So I was watching this TED Talk the other day, and this doctor was talking about healthcare and how it needs to change and how we need more upstreamists. And he,
a term that I don't know anything
I'm
about.
About to share. I'm
Thank
about
you.
To share.
Okay.
So he told a little story, right, about what an upstreamist actually is. And he said, okay, and forgive me, I know I'm not going to get this completely right, but he was telling his story, and he said, you know, there's a bunch of children drowning in the river, right?
Okay.
So you've got the people that are pulling those children out of the river, right? They're pulling them out, and then you've got the people that are doing CPR, and you have all of these kind of emergency workers. And he said that this is how the majority of healthcare works. It's like, oh my God, you come in, you've got a symptom, and we immediately treat the symptom. And so while everybody's going crazy and it's like they're trying to kind of fish the kids out of the water and then resuscitate the kids, this one woman starts swimming upstream. And everybody is like, where are you going? What are you doing? We have an emergency here. And she goes, I'm going to swim upstream and find out what the hell is throwing these kids into the water. So
wow.
The concept, he calls it an upstreamist, or it is called an upstreamist, I guess, either in the medical profession or obviously I'm not a doctor, so I'm not privy. But, you know, Dr. Van Hurley is an upstreamist by her nature. She's always going to look for the origin of the problem, as well as she can also treat your problem.
Right.
But she's, you know, and it's important to have somebody who is, you know, there reviving the body, pulling the kids out of the water. But it's also important in healthcare to have upstreamists and to start dealing with your health where it begins, not where it's arrived at or ended up.
Right.
And so he was giving tips for people to share about how to help their doctors become upstreamists and to ask their doctors for help finding solutions to these kinds of issues. And one of the things he said to share, you want to share details about your home, your workplace, your school, your community, your society. So, for example, this one woman came in to this guy, and she was having these insane migraine headaches. Insane. And they ran all these tests, and they did all this stuff, and they're like, you're fine. So she thinks she's bananas, right? And,
yeah.
the CAT scans and the MRIs, blah, blah, blah. She keeps going into the emergency room. They keep doing all these tests. They're like, it's nothing. You're not having a stroke. You're fine. So she goes to see this doctor. She ends up in his office, and he takes one look at her, and he sees what's called the allergic salute. And I used to actually have it as a kid. It's a line that goes across the bridge of your nose, so they know you have allergies. So he starts asking her about allergies, and you know, and he also had this form. Do you have roaches? Do you have leaky pipes? Do you have mold?
Yeah.
That she filled out on her intake form. She had all those things. And so what he started to determine, and he started giving her, like, I want you to call, like, a public health worker. I want you to call, you know, and he started referring her to all these people in her community that can help, and then a civil servant lawyer or something of that nature. So they were able to come in and be like, okay, she's got mold. Okay, you know, her yep. landlord isn't taking care of them. And he gave her solutions to the problem. Of course, he gave her medicine for her allergies, but he was also trying to fix the origin of the problem so it would go away.
Right.
And he says that's an upstreamist. And so you want to share with them, like, what's going on? So children that have really bad asthma, do they live next to a freeway? Do they go to school next to a freeway? You know, ask these questions. Give this information to your healthcare provider.
Mm-hmm.
Because quite honestly, the answer might be as simple as they need to go to a different school.
Yeah.
And even though it's not easy to do, it is a simple solution, as in it's clear cut. You know what needs to happen.
Yeah.
Making it happen may not be easy, but it needs to happen. And you know what? Taking care of your health isn't easy, but it's a necessity. It's something that cannot be ignored. So, you know, hey, are you going to maybe have to move? Yeah, maybe you are. Is it costly? Yeah, maybe it is. Is it going to really put you out? Maybe. But we got to look at, hey, you know, priorities here. And getting to the bottom of that, you can't just throw kids on a bunch of medicine. You can't throw yourself on a bunch of medicine. It has side effects. It's dangerous.
I just had this conversation with my sister-in-law. She's got migraines, and he keeps giving her pill. And I said, have you had the, the house checked?
Exactly. Exactly.
That's good. I like that.
So you want to, where do you live? What's going on in your home? Your workplace? What's going on at work? Is it a high-stress work environment? Is it an old building that might have asbestos, for goodness sake? Yeah. Like, share all of these details and this information. And it's everything. It's, you know, what's your community like? You know, is there less green space? You know, they did a whole study on obesity, and they found that communities, no matter how rich or how poor, that have access to green space have, God, I'm going to get the number wrong, but it was like 5 times less likely to be obese if there's access to green space.
Interesting.
Even if there's poverty. Yeah. You know, because one of the things I'll say all the time, I put this tweet out and I was like, yeah, we had social networks when I was a kid. It was called Outside.
I saw that.
And everybody was like, well, that's, you know, good for you. My kid is going to get shot, you know, if he walks to school. And I was like, oh, man, okay. You know, and there are times.
No, but your statement was.
I know, but what they're saying is it's not. I get it. No. It's not that easy. It's not that safe. And so hence prioritizing green space. But the reality is we got to start looking at the origin. Encourage your healthcare provider to start finding the origin of the problem.
Yeah.
Not, oh, here's the problem, we're going to treat it, but where does it stem from? And when you share this information with them, it really helps. Mm-hmm. It facilitates them to kind of get to the bottom. And by the way, you can ask them, the guy says, say, excuse me, are you an extremist? To ask the doctor. Because at the same time, you know, doctors do have relationships with pharmaceutical companies. I do. Van Hurley. Heck yeah. Dr. Van Hurley is. Why do you think she's my go-to?
Well, mine isn't.
You get to go away. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You're too old for baby.
You're too old for baby. Look how old you are. You're old eggs.
See,
nothing left.
Not even your doctor listens
up
to you.
You shriveled.
Even he's
thing
on Twitter. While you're in there, man.
Oh, okay. What's number two? Oh, is that the whole thing?
So there's no number. This is the end of the numbering. Oh, I'm sorry. She's left. Jillian's left.
No, I'm on Twitter again. So Janice found an article, and it's not.
It's for the career coach.
Yeah, I didn't scoff at it.
That's right.
I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, something that I think a lot of people don't think about. Autumn and I, in fact, just had a conversation about one of these things. So here's what it's about. He says, here are the top 10 things. Oh, sorry. His name is Bernard Marr. And he says, here are the top 10 things he believes you shouldn't share with anyone at work.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Autumn and I literally just had a conversation about this because I asked her, you'd think I would know how much someone at our company makes, because we were discussing that she works as hard as these two brand managers within our company.
Yeah.
And I was like, how much do they make? And because I felt that she deserved to make as much. And she's like, I don't know. And I was like, what do you mean you don't know? And she's like, I don't know, Jill. We're not allowed to talk about our salary. And I was like, are you serious? Because, you know, we have a chief financial officer, a guy named Ray, and Giancarlo is our CEO. And I don't know anything about this stuff within our, I really don't. And she's like, yeah, you know, it's policy, you don't discuss what you make. And I was like, well, God, I guess that makes sense, doesn't it? You shouldn't do that, I guess, discuss what you're making. And I can see that it would create, like, a lot of negative feelings and jealousy. And
Yeah, it does. Don't do that. But everybody's curious. Everybody wants to know what everybody else makes. But, yeah, I mean, it's.
I guess not.
Nobody
that, but
ever
again,
talks about it.
You should never. Honestly, you shouldn't base your worth and your value off what other people are making. If you think you deserve to be making more, you should go to your boss and ask for a raise. You know, and if you're happy with what you're making, then you're happy with what you're making. But I can see why you shouldn't be comparing it to what other people are making. I can see why no good might come of that.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and that could cause a lot of trouble for you at the office. So don't get into that. Don't talk about what you're making. Don't ask other people what they're making. And I guess there are some corporate policies where you could get into big trouble for that.
Yep.
Intimate details about your love or sex life. And this guy says, you might have the most amazing or miserable love life, but there is a don't share. Wait, but don't share. Oh, he says, don't share the details at work. Really?
Well,
I find that guys do that all the time, and it helps make life more bearable for them. I don't know about this. I feel like if it's not like a heavy-duty corporate environment or you're not having a meeting with investment bankers getting into inappropriate conversations, I do think there's a time and a place. But, like, the guys in my office talk about this stuff all the time.
Right, but...
I guarantee you, you know, the girl... Where is Autumn? Where is she?
Right there.
Tomb.
Yeah.
Are you trying to work?
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
I'm mad. What do you mean?
What do you think about this? Should coworkers be allowed to discuss their love life?
Well,
like, do you discuss it with Julie?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, but Julie's my friend. I don't know.
But you've met at the office, though, correct?
Yes.
And they became friends. So I don't know that I totally agree with this.
But I can see how it can become titillating conversation, and titillating conversation can then become, it could be construed as a sexual harassment.
Yeah,
right?
that's kind of a tricky area.
Yeah. Is it sexual harassment, though,
if
you're friends? Like, if it's a man to a man and he's talking about his girlfriend?
Right.
That's sexually harassment?
But
sexual
if it's done in a place where, let's say, you know, maybe a female is able to listen to it.
I think there are extenuating circumstances here. I really do. Jake's talked to me about his girlfriends on the show.
Yeah, but we're doing that as a... It's not like, hey, did you see who I... You know, we don't... I can see how that is probably... You have to be careful.
All right. I would say you've got to be careful and use your better judgment, obviously. If it's somebody who you've become a close friend with at work, and, you know, I would also keep it girl talking to girl, boy talking to boy,
yeah.
So it couldn't be construed as sexual harassment. And, like, you know, people talk about their love lives. I just think they do. Like... When I'm at work and I'm with, you know, Paige and Chloe doing hair and makeup for something, they talk about their love life to me all the time.
However, you could see how it could be used. Let's say that that person got a promotion. You could say, well, you know what, you could use it to disparage them. Could you not? Like,
but that's different. You know. That's sleeping with the boss. This is not
I'm saying if Larry gets a promotion and Barry doesn't, and Larry's a perv, Barry could go and say, hey, you know.
That's the only time I could see this happen. Well, that's the only time I could see this happening.
Yeah, I can see it.
No, it makes
sense,
though.
Like, I remember we had a conversation because we're a small company, and I got in trouble for saying the F word at a fitness event. And I just seen Eminem, and I was training, like, a group of 1,000 people, and I was like, if anybody out there tells you no or tells you you can't, you know, F them. It was like, this one's for them. And Ray, our CFO, freaked out and was like, you can't say the F word. Oh, my God. And, there were, like, investment bankers that came to talk to us about a project, and one of our employees was going to the bathroom, and G made some sort of foul joke.
Oh, really?
About it. Yeah, I know, surprise. And Ray was like, you can't say that stuff. And I can see what he means. But that's not a good friend or a good coworker. I don't know. That's a tough one, man.
Yep.
Cause someone's good friend. I like Paige and Chloe. I work with them every day. Like, we are all technically coworkers.
Yes.
So, I mean, I don't know. And I think we become friends. I think you got to use your better judgment.
Yeah.
If you're friends, you become close friends with a coworker, I think it's different. And I think don't put it on blast and don't keep it woman to woman or man to man. So God forbid anyone, it could construe it as sexual harassment.
That's right.
The next one, he says, don't discuss your alcohol consumption. Like, don't walk in and brag about a hangover. I am going to agree on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one is just...
Again, I think it sets yourself up to be vulnerable. I think it sets yourself up to be like a, you know...
I agree, and it's not, it's just not professional, man. You don't want to be like, whoa, dude, I'm so hot. No.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear that. You know, especially, like, when it comes to work, if it's your fearless leader, you don't want to think your fearless leader is asleep at the wheel.
Yeah.
And if it's, you know, a coworker, it's just no. Yeah. I'm gonna agree with him on that one. Okay. Political views. Ugh. God, this is just a general rule.
Yeah, that stirs. Isn't that what they say when you get together with family? Never talk about, what is it?
Religion and politics. Well, that's the next one. Religious views. This one's impossible. Yeah. Oh my gosh, you want to open a can of worms? I don't know if we ever talked about this. I remember I put this really cool little clip that I thought was so neat. A guy named Neil deGrasse Tyson. He was Carl Sagan's protege, right?
Okay.
Cosmologist, astrophysicist, I believe. And he did this great show. What was it on Autumn? It was called Cosmos, which is a remake of Carl Sagan's show.
He took it over for Carl Sagan, yeah.
Right. And what's it on now, though? Fox?
It was on Fox. I think it might be done, but it's on Netflix. It's on one of those. You can stream it.
I keep meaning to stream it.
It's beautiful.
It's supposed to be incredible, right? So this guy, they ask him, can you tell us one of the most amazing facts about the universe? And he says, well, I just find it so incredible that we're all made up of stardust. And there's this really cool video when he talks about how these ancient supernovas exploded, and essentially when they did, they poured all of these vital ingredients for life into the universe. And you're made up of the same thing that stars are made of. It's just, you know, when the stars were here for, oh my God, what it unleashed.
Oh, from
on my, I had no idea. I don't, God, big, there's no Big Bang, and Jesus is my God. I was like, wait, what? I didn't even know it was a religious statement. And I was like, I'm so confused. Like, if you believe in God, like, why would you not think that God created the universe, God created the stars, like, maybe there's a system to all of this? Like, what? Like, it blew my mind. And I couldn't believe, and then everyone starts screaming at everybody, and I was like, God, I just thought this was neat. And he was talking about how we were connected to everything. And I mean, ugh. So honestly, the only time I talk about this stuff is with my very close friends.
Mm-hmm.
Save it. Yeah. Really. I mean, and sometimes when I think I can, like, better the world. So if it's equal rights, I mean, where are you going to go wrong there?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You might say, oh, no, this group of people don't deserve rights and those group of people don't deserve rights. Well, I just think you couldn't, you know, I believe people are equal. To me, I don't even see both sides of that, of an issue like that. But I'm certainly not discussing gun control, like none of that. Nor do I want to influence other people's opinions on the matter. So the only thing I think I've ever even discussed in a public forum at all would be equal rights. Because I don't understand how you don't fight, you don't see all human beings as equal. But other than that, you know, don't do it. Don't do it anywhere. Just don't do it with your good friends. And that's it.
Yeah.
Politically incorrect jokes. Oh, my God. Absolutely don't do that. I agree completely. Especially if you're an employer. Ugh. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it. But it's like life becomes so, you have to be so careful all the time. It's so homogenized. And it's like, for God's sake, like, when can we kind of take the piss out of something a little bit? But work is not the place. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Work's not the place. It's just not the place. Okay. Here we go. What's he saying here? Your Facebook account. Making friends at work is great, but he feels that connecting with colleagues on Facebook is a step too far. Mm. Oh, interesting. He says use LinkedIn. And he says he thinks it's hard
LinkedIn
to control what goes out to others.
Yeah.
And he says almost every day he sees posts and pictures on Facebook that make him cringe. We're friends. You know what? I just made Giancarlo take all of our employees. Did I not, Autumn? I made him take them all off of his Facebook account.
Yep.
All of them.
No, but that makes
all
sense.
Of them.
LinkedIn is strictly for business.
I said
sharing.
To him, I was like, because I don't really have a personal Facebook. I only have a public page. Like, I have like a little admin account, and it allows me to follow like a few of my close friends. But like, I have a public page. That's all I post on. So I don't have any, like, I don't have a personal Twitter, so I don't have any concerns there. But I was like, nah, remove everybody and make it company policy. And it's just, and we just went through this when we were in Spain, and he was posting like a joke, and I was like, no, And it's just because I just thought, you know what, someone's going to turn around and sue us because that's what they do. Oh, they fired me because I'm old. They fired me because I'm who knows. You know, think of whatever reason, insert here. And I was like, and God forbid, like, you know, you post a picture of you and your dad and say he made an off comment joke in Italy with his dad and his dad was uncomfortable and he posted it on Facebook and then was like, suck it up, old man. And I was like, take all of our employees off of your Facebook.
Right.
Because, you know, who knows? Oh, they fired me because I'm old. See, look, he said his father's an old man. I was like, just off. All of them off.
Oh, interesting.
Off. And I think this guy's right. I think that's really smart, man. You got to be real careful with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, medical details. For whatever reason, we love to talk about our illnesses and ailments. A bit like kids, they can't wait to show others their scratches and bruises. Both my kids do that. Even though we all want to hear about medical details, work is not the place to share how you had an anal probe inserted to check for hemorrhoids. This guy literally wrote that. Okay. Well, we certainly haven't followed those rules here, but
this is a different medium. But again, I can see how people could take advantage of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's right. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, this one's so true. Don't gossip. I don't believe in gossip, though. I don't read gossip magazines ever. I hate gossip.
It's a really tough one to, because all gossip is you want to look better than, you want to feel better than somebody else. I mean, really.
Don't gossip. It just doesn't reflect well. You're certainly not going to give you a good reputation.
Yeah.
And it makes you look bad. There's no need to gossip. Rise above it. Don't gossip. And he says, don't talk about whether or not you're looking for a new job. And he says, you might feel unhappy in your job and you're actively looking for a new post, but don't tell everyone. And he says, it could come out quick and leave you in an awkward position.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that. Why would you?
Yeah.
Unless you're just angry, but it's not going to serve you. You're just going to get fired. And these are decent. I like these.
Thank you. Thank you, Bernard.
Yeah, Bernard.
For the anal probe.
God, that was good. At least he can loosen the bone, right?
That's right. Loosen the bone,
loosen
Wilma.
The bone, Wilma.
There you go.
Okay, ladies, and a few very sensitive men that listen to the podcast, guess what? We got a new sponsor, and it's the Dollar Shave Club. So check this out. There's no such thing as a men's treadmill, and guess what? There's no such thing as a women's treadmill. A treadmill is a treadmill, and it's the same with razors. A razor is a razor. So, ladies, how come we're paying double for a razor that has a pink flowery handle? This is silly. And if you've ever shaved with your husband's razor or your boyfriend's razor, you know they work just as well or even better. I don't like to get ripped off. I don't want you guys getting ripped off. I get my razors from DollarShaveClub.com. They send you a free handle and replacement blades that arrive every single month or every other month, whatever you need, for just a few bucks. So now you get a fantastic shave for a fraction of the store price. So stop dropping 20 bucks for a pack of pink razors. Check out DollarShaveClub.com/Jillian now. They guarantee you're going to love their razors or they'll give you your money back. Get some for yourself and get a card for your boyfriend or husband. Go to DollarShaveClub.com/Jillian. That's DollarShaveClub.com/Jillian. Okay, it's that time of year again, people. It's holiday time. And everyone from busy moms to business owners are shopping for holiday cards, calendars, stocking stuffers. And a great place to start is Vistaprint.com. Now, through December 31st, they're offering my listeners 50% off personalized holiday cards. But the good tidings don't stop there. Calendars are also 50% off too, and you can save on other personalized holiday products. Just go to Vistaprint.com and enter my code, Jillian, my name of course, J-I-L-L-I-A-N, at the checkout, and your savings are applied automatically. It's that easy. And you're not going to find these items on store shelves. You can make a mug with your kids' pictures on them. You can make grandma a calendar with the kids' pictures. I know this because I've done both of these things personally. You can upload the pics straight from Facebook. Make unique personal gifts at a great price. The possibilities are endless. Satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed every time. You've got nothing to lose. You will love Vistaprint. Just remember to enter my code, J-I-L-L-I-A-N, at the checkout. And get savings on these incredible deals at Vistaprint.com. Okay, it's my next segment.
The third.
In my snappy series.
Snappy series.
About
three.
Our food and our planet. How our food and the way we consume it and the way we produce and the way we grow it is having deleterious effects. How do you like that big word?
I don't know. It went right over my head.
Deleterious is deteriorating our environment.
Deleterious.
Deleterious. I hope I got that right. Okay. So the big one for today is about factory farms and global warming and air pollution. Okay. Now, factory farms, as you may have gathered, have a host of other dangerous effects on the environment, but I'm specifically focusing on deforestation, air pollution, the release of global warming gases like methane and CO2. So I'm going to run you through it real quick, and here are some statistics off of dosomething.org. Factory farming accounts for 37% of methane emissions. Methane has 20 times the global warming potential of CO2, carbon emissions. So if you're wondering...
Wow, really?
Oh, yeah. And if you're wondering what's methane and why I don't get it, it's cow farts.
Yeah.
Pig farts. It's like, seems crazy, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
And as I just stated, it has a really serious effect on the ozone layer, and it's dramatically impacting our global warming situation. And, you know, whether you want to buy into this or not, I mean, the ice caps are melting, man. The beaches at my house are gonzo. This is not, we have massive droughts. California has had the worst drought in the friggin', I don't even know how long. Like, it's serious. We're having big, big global warming issues. So, you know, again, if you don't buy into it, all right, but for those of you who are paying attention to the facts, it's a big deal. And this is playing a huge part in what's going on. Now, another thing that factory farms require, and this is kind of scary, they require a tremendous amount of fossil fuels to run these factory farms. Of course, fossil fuels being oil. Well, guess what? Fossil fuels release carbon emissions. Listen to this one. The use of fossil fuels on farms to grow feed and to intensively raise land animals, cows, pigs, etc., for food emits 90 million tons of CO2 worldwide every year. 90 million tons. 90 million. How about this one? Because we're globally deforesting the planet for in many cases, there are many different reasons, palm oil, but we're talking about factory farms right now. We are deforesting massive forests for factory farms. And what it's estimated to be doing is emitting 2.4 billion more tons just from this of CO2 every year.
Because the canopy's gone.
Right. So the plants that used to absorb all these greenhouse gases are now gone. But also when you kill them, when you destroy these plants and you take them down, all of those gases are being released back into the environment.
Yeah.
And it really goes on and on. Factory farms contribute to air pollution because they release compounds like hydrogen sulfide, ammonia, and, of course, as we mentioned, methane. It's a problem. And you're thinking, oh, my God, okay, I don't know what to do. Honestly, there is a very simple answer here. Simple not being easy, but... you know, what kind of, how, honestly, I think of it like this. How do you want to leave the planet for your kids, man? Because they're the ones, this is crunch time. Really, this is like in the next 100 years, we're going to decide which way this sucker's going. And I just think about my children, and there's the little humans on the planet today. The first human ever to live to 200 is alive right now, because of all the advances in modern medicine. But if there's no planet for these little kids to live on, who will then be double centaurians, then this is all out the window anyway. And your kids, your kids' kids, and so on. Your legacy. Eat organic meat. Do not support factory farmed meat. Don't support it. And I get it. It's expensive. I completely understand. I want you to think of it as follows. Number one, we don't need as much meat as we're eating. We just don't need it. We eat too much meat anyway. I eat grass-fed beef maybe once a week, and I get it at my local farmer's market. I talk to my, you know, they have an organic certification. I've looked at the little photos of their farm, and I've looked them up. I've done my homework on them. And by the way, you look them up once, and then, you know, if I miss the farmer's market, I do have some, hopefully you'll have this in your area. I go to my supermarket. There's several, one called Vintage Market and another one called PC Greens in my area. And I do my research, and there's one called SunFed, and it's grass-fed beef. We get it once a week, and we all have little grass-fed burgers, and we don't eat that much meat. We just don't eat that much meat. Yeah. There are other alternatives, and you might be thinking, well, like, what? I don't understand. What's she talking about? But I eat seafood, and then we did a segment on how to purchase ethically sourced seafood that's good for you, mm-hmm. and that doesn't actually cost more. In some cases, it costs less, as we, again, another segment, another day. But so less meat. And honestly, it's not the end of the world if you have a pasta dish, if you have a whole grain pasta, or God forbid, we have a more plant-based diet, which is actually better for you. And you might think, ugh, gross. But you know something? When we go for Mexican food, I get the veggie fajitas. If it's ethically sourced shrimp, I get the shrimp fajitas, or I'll get the fish tacos. If I know it's safe fish, and honestly, with white fish, it usually is. I'll get fish tacos or veggie fajitas with a side of black beans. If, just think about it, there's a host of different options for all different kinds of food. Even if you're going for sushi, again, you get a certain amount of fish that's ethically sourced. And then there are a host of other vegetarian options. Veggie rolls, and we'll get little crab rolls and things like that. But we eat a little more seafood. We do not support. I don't eat. Gosh, I don't remember the last time I ate pork, chicken. And I would, mind you, if I knew. Well, I probably wouldn't now because I'm an animal lover. But for health purposes, if I knew that the pig, the pork, or the chicken came from my local farmer, and it was ethically sourced for the planet and didn't have hormones and antibiotics, you just don't need as much meat. So it might cost more, but if you're getting it from the farmer's market, it shouldn't, simply because there's not the overhead of a huge, a huge brick and mortar location. Less meat, organic when you can, and it's going to be so much better for your body and your health, and it's so much better for the environment. And again, just a little perspective on the pocketbook thing. You might be spending $10 to $20 more a week on groceries because of this. But how much do you think chemotherapy is going to cost? I'm telling you right now, when we look at all these different cancers, it's rampant, man. It's rampant. Every single week I hear about another 30-year-old with a different kind of cancer. Yeah. This didn't happen to my mother's generation. It didn't happen. Every week I got another 37-year-old friend who's coming down with breast cancer, ovarian cancer, thyroid cancer. And yes, it's a cumulative effect of all the toxins that we eat, breathe, drink, but let's put on our skin, but let's minimize it. Don't eat hormones, don't eat antibiotics in the food, all this stuff we can avoid. So there you go. Less meat, organic meat. Try to get it at your local farmer's market. Texts I get from my significant other. Not I'm thinking of you. Not how's your day. Not I love you. I just get a totally unsolicited text from Heidi of a picture.
Yes.
And it's a hand-drawn picture. And it has these big block letters in all caps. And it says team. T-E-A-M. And then in red marker it says there is an I in team hidden in the A-hole. And in the A, they've colored in the inside of the A, and it does, in fact, make an I. This is what I get from her.
See?
Because she thinks I'm not a team player. But I'm not. Because I don't want to rely on anyone else to get it done. I'll get it done. Me.
Oh, Jillian.
Me. I'll get it done.
Oh, Jillian.
Who wants to play team sports, man?
Oh.
Then you lose. Because somebody didn't do their homework.
Oh, my God. You know what? My goal is? My goal for...
Hidden in the A-hole. This is what I get from her.
My goal...
Not, hi, honey. I thought you'd find this. But just... And basically, you know what she's saying? You're an A-hole.
Yes, she
just
is.
This is the middle of the day.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
What?
You're not into the touchy-feely fuzzy. You like...
I'm a rugged individualist.
You're a rugged individualist.
I stand on my own.
You stand on your own two feet.
What are you laughing at? The hell's your problem?
That was funny.
Why is that funny? Are we serious?
Yeah. All right. shut it off.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.